I'd like to welcome everybody here in the room and those on Zoom to this meeting. I am very pleased to be part of the celebration for this award ceremony tonight to David Schaefer, who gave so much to us individually, as people, as disabled people, gave so much to the disability community in general, and just to people in general who needed his help legally or just emotionally. He was that kind of a person. I remember last time I saw David, who has crossed the room from me at an award ceremony for a product called Remap. He had spearheaded that, and this was the roll-up. And I remember asking some people by me where David was. He was at the center of the room, surrounded by a lot of people. He was pontificating as David would do, and screaming this and that and the other. And I said, you know, I won't bother David. I'll catch up with him in a couple of weeks because we're going to be working on something together. And I never had that opportunity to say thank you to David for the work that he has done and what he meant to me and to the project, just everything that he accomplished. So if you get a chance to say thanks to people, take that opportunity. I wish I had back then. The first Hettinger Award, I just looked that up today. Thank you, ChatGPT. It was given on October 30th, 2012. So this is the 13th award. There are a lot of people in this room here who have received the award, members of the AAC, very deserving people outside the organization also. So I'm very pleased that we're giving this to David. As I was listening to the news today, December 1st, 1955, that was the arrest of Rosa Parks in Montgomery, Alabama, the beginning of the bus resistance movement, civil rights era, way back when. If David had been around at that time, I'm sure he would have been fighting for that type of accessibility to buses, just the same way as he fought for accessibility throughout his entire life. A different type of accessibility, but still the same fight. So I think it's very fitting that we are giving this award to posthumously to David, his son, and Bryn. I would ask that right now, what we'd like to do is going to have Anu read the award so everyone is acquainted with it, what we submitted. He's on David. And then a few of us will be speaking on his behalf. Anu?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Sheehan. I'll be happy to read the nomination. And the nomination goes like this. David Schaefer dedicated his distinguished career to advancing equity, accessibility, and justice for people with disabilities, women, and minorities. His leadership in accessible transportation and civil rights law reflects a lifelong commitment to ensuring that public systems serve all members of society with fairness and dignity. Mr. Schaefer graduated summa cum laude from Wittenberg University in 1980 with a major in political science and minors in business and music. He earned his Juris Doctor from Stanford Law School in 1983, where he was elected to the Order of the COIF, a national honor society recognizing academic excellence in law, and served as president of the Environmental Law Society and senior editor of the Stanford Environmental Law Journal. Following graduation, he clerked for the Honorable Betty B. Fletcher, United States Circuit Judge for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. From 2006 to 2013, as Assistant General Counsel at the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, Mr. Schaefer managed complex civil rights and accessibility litigation, including Disability Rights Council versus WMATA. He provided legal counsel on Title VI, Title VII, and ADA matters, ensuring compliance with federal civil rights standards while strengthening WMATA's commitment to non-discrimination. His work directly advanced accessibility for riders with disabilities and helped institutionalize Americans with Disabilities Act and Title VI compliance across the agency. From 2013 to 2021, as Access Policy Officer in WMATA's Office of ADA Policy and Planning, Mr. Schaefer played a transformative role in embedding accessibility across all facets of Metro's operations. He reviewed and implemented federal, state, and local accessibility regulations impacting rail, bus, and Metro access services. He oversaw Section 508 conformance and the adoption of Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 2.0 and advanced alternative format accessibility for internal and external digital communications. As a liaison to the disability community, he represented WMATA at public forums, ensuring that the voices of riders and with disabilities shaped policy and practice. Mr. Schaefer's insight as a professional with legal blindness gave his advocacy unique authenticity. He understood firsthand the barriers faced by riders with disabilities and worked tirelessly to remove them, expanding access to bus, rail, and paratransit services and guiding WMATA toward the highest standards of inclusive design and customer experience. After leaving WMATA, Mr. Schaefer continued to champion equality through his private practice, representing hundreds of individuals nationwide in civil rights and class action litigation. He fought for workplace accommodations, gender equity, and fair employment practices, holding institutions accountable and securing meaningful reforms. His legal acumen extended into the insurance field, where he developed risk assessment tools and authored the Employment Practice Self-Assessment Guide for AEGIS loss control, now used by major insurance firms to identify and mitigate discrimination risks. Throughout his career, David Schaefer has exemplified integrity, courage, and compassion. His leadership at WMATA improved accessibility for thousands of riders, while his broader legal work has strengthened the civil rights landscape for people with disabilities nationwide. For his decades of service, advocacy, and enduring impact on accessible transportation, the undersigned, which are several of the AAC members, proudly nominate David Schaefer posthumously for the Richard W. Hettinger Award, which is the Accessible Transportation Award. And that was the end of the nomination. Thank you.
Thank you, Anu. Appreciate that. And I will say that the award was unanimously voted up to David by the entire AAC. So thank everybody for their contributions to this. And we have a few people that would also like to speak on behalf and say some things about David. I think we all, a lot of us, understand what he has done at WMATA. It was spoken about in the award writing. One of the things that I really appreciated after David left WMATA was the work that he was continuing to do with the Disability Rights Council and with his own private law practice. I know he had gotten together with members of the disability community in Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. He wanted to know what our problems were, whether they were transportation problems, paratransit problems, Uber problems, guide dog problems, or whatever, accessibility with websites, whatever they were. He wanted to tackle them, and he was going through at that time and just discussing how could he be of assistance from an advocacy standpoint, from a legal standpoint, and just trying to understand solutions. And that's what David was all about. That really impressed me, because that was more of a service to the disability community, which to me, that's what David was all about. And so I salute David for his empathy, for his energy, for his courage, and his ability to get the job done and to represent the disability community in such a sincere, empathetic way. And this award that we present tonight salutes all of those emotions, activities, and feelings that we have for David. We've got a few other people that would like to speak on David's behalf. I think Phil, is Phil Posner connected? I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's invited from Florida.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu.
Yes. Who do we have the name?
We can begin with members who are present, because
okay.
Dr. Poster is not connected at the moment.
All right. Ms. Rush, who I don't think is present. We have
Ms. Rush is connected online.
She's connected online? Okay.
Yes.
Denise, would you like to start off?
I'm the vice president of the AAC committee. I did not personally know Mr. Schaefer. I just know his works and outstanding always. I met him when he was trying to get the information for many things happening, and he was always there, and you should be very proud of your father. Thank you.
Okay, so I hope that was audible a bit. Ms. Rush did conclude her comments, Chair Sheehan.
Thank you very much. And I think next on the list was Tina.
This will change the seal.
Tina, are you recognized?
I should be a pedestrian. So when I first joined as a member of the AAC, I didn't know any member, and I didn't know many of the staff. One of the people I didn't know was Barbara Machina. Anyway, the time came for the formal meeting to begin, and at some point in that meeting and the following meetings, different issues were brought to the attention of our honoree, and I didn't know his background, but learning about his background, it's no wonder that he was able to solve them, explain to us what it was that was behind any issue that came to him. And he did this in a quiet and very unassuming way. When I first heard about his background a few years back, a couple of meetings ago, down his background, for instance, I knew he went to Stanford, but I didn't know that he was second in his class and that he did so much work regarding the various civil rights laws. I was just astounded, and it's a great pleasure to know that he was nominated for the award and that he's receiving the award. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tino. I think next up on our list, Sandy Nuzel.
Hi, I'm Sandy Nuzel, second vice chair of the Bus and Rail Subcommittee. I met David Schaefer in about 2018, 2019. He was giving a presentation. He was one of several people on a panel talking about transportation options in the DC metro area for people who have disabilities and can't drive themselves places. And after the presentation, I asked him a few questions. He was extremely courteous, generous with his time, explained very clearly to me about Metro Access. And yes, I was entirely eligible to apply for Metro Access. And it just astounded me that his vision was so much less than mine, and yet he was using Metro to ride places, and he was doing all this great work that we've been hearing about in this award. So with heartfelt, I just really believe the man did a great job on behalf of many people in this room and many people throughout the area, throughout the United States, maybe the world. Anyway, he deserves the award, and I was happy to help write it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate that. And I don't know, you've got access to Zoom, I don't. I don't know if Phil is online.
Chair Sheehan. Chair Sheehan, I do not see Dr. Posner connected as of yet. However, Paul Summerford is in the room.
Oh, very good. Paul, I'm sorry, sir. Missing my Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Go ahead, Paul. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. Paul Summerford here, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. I got to know David and working with him with the Appeals Committee. So the head Richard Hedgehog Award is bestowed upon those who exemplify unwavering commitment, integrity, and exceptional service to our community and transit system. It recognizes individuals who didn't just meet the standards, but set them in every way, describes David. Many of us had the privilege of working alongside David at Womada, particularly those who serve on the practice paradigms. Was that I have to work many cases with them. That work is challenging. It requires not just meticulous attention to detail, but an equal measure of compassion. David was the embodiment of hope. He understood that behind every appeal was a rider whose mobility and dependence depended on a fair decision. He didn't view the appeals process as a bureaucratic hurdle. He saw it as a safe of trust. He was a champion of fairness, ensuring that our most vulnerable customers were treated with dignity and deserve, always applying rules with integrity and heart. So with that, he would sorely miss his professionalism, his intelligence, right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know if we had other members of the committee that would like to add their thoughts to what's already been said.
I would.
Steve? Yeah. Steve, go ahead, sir. Yes, thanks.
I have gone through appeals hearing training, as many people had, and was supposed to be qualified to therefore serve on a panel or panels. When selected to do the first one, I arrived quite a bit apprehensive that I had gone through the training and passed the training, but I was dealing with real life, real people situations. I went up to the accessibility office. David was there to greet me, and sat me down. He had other things to do. He sat me down and said, "This is your first time doing a panel, I understand. So let me tell you how it's going to work." He spent 15 minutes with me, and then he said, "You'll excuse me, I have to go downstairs and set up the room." So it was done in the boardroom. What grabbed me about David was his sensitivity
and compassion for me. What impressed me most was not his chairing the panel, but his interest in bringing out from the applicant, if you will, all the information, all the qualities, all the relevant aspects of the appeal that might influence the final determination. David never pushed a determination one way or the other, but he truly made sure that each person had their day and had their say. Just an extraordinary experience to me, and an extraordinary man. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And I remember talking to Phil. He could tell this so much better than I could. He's not here. But he said very much what you said, Steve, is that David took an awful lot of time to educate all of us on issues and situations that we didn't have good information on. He took the time to explain how things worked, why things worked, why decisions were made as the ombudsman, why decisions were made the way they were, the pros and the cons, and all that sort of thing that go along with complex decisions like the ones he was involved in. He showed great respect for all of us, particularly folks in the disability community, and he showed great loyalty to WMATA and balancing those two sets of priorities was David. He was at once professional, doing his job, representing WMATA and doing the work that needed to be done, but he would also be advocating for the disability community, trying to work and get the best situation forward, maybe the best deal that we could get at a given time. And he always exuded patience. If we could get the whole loaf of bread, maybe we could get half a loaf, something like that, you know. So he worked with us and he respected our size and our arguments. And then he did such a professional job at representing WMATA's priorities and authorities and that sort of thing. So I agree with you very much on that, Steve. Thank you. I don't know if there are any other raised hands or any.
Yeah.
Yes.
As I remember, when back in like it was 2000-2001, when Metro Access was coming into fruition, they had all the people who were like, because people with disabilities who were like, were using like their taxi cabs, call and rides, get around, and they were like telling them how they were going to be taken from using that to using this new service. And I remember David came up and speak to them and, that, and try to get. Have be sure they're transitioning from their taxi call and ride to this new paratransit, which is now Metro Access. It runs smoothly, so and so they know what to expect when they go outside to meet their rides, and he did it with law gratitude. I think that's probably why he deserves the award.
David did have a lot of patience and be very good at explaining complex subjects to all of us.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We do have another award winner who would like to make some comments, Robbie Work.
Very good. Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you. I think I can just speak. Great to be here in person. And meetings remind me so much of David came to the meetings when we met in person pre-COVID, and he always took the time to talk to me after. David was, I considered a friend, but more importantly, as a professional, he was able to tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly, because he was one of the writers. We picked him up, and he would let us know and me know when we needed to do something that he thought might be either a violation of the ADA or to improve the service. And this was, it was like my own private mystery writer. And he was so great because he did it in a way that he wanted to make him happy. And he wanted to do it for him because of everything that he was doing for everybody else. I love him. I miss him. And it's so great that he's been with us for.
Thank you, Robbie. And you're right. That was David. He wasn't beating you up. Well, maybe he was. But it always felt like he wanted to make the service better. It was about the service, not the individual. Yeah. Thank you. I knew.
Chair Sheehan, we do have a presentation, and we do have Jed Schaefer and Bryn Schaefer along with Joyce Winston. Yes. If you'd like to come forward, we can present the award.
Very good. The logistics of this, I knew.
So currently, as I speak, Jen Schaefer and Bryn Schaefer, along with Joyce Winston, are right behind you to receive the award. Chair Sheehan, if you would turn around, please.
I don't think he gets the whole real word.
He does not.
On behalf of the AAC, we want to present this award to posthumously to David Schaefer for his fine work that you've heard all about today. And an individual, we miss him, respect his work and everything that he's given to the disability community, not only in Washington, D.C., but really in other areas, particularly in California, where he did so much fine work for so many people. So thank you very much for accepting the award on David's behalf. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here's.
Can everyone hear me? Oh, Julio. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Sheehan, if you could just turn. Thank you.
For those of you who might not know, I'm Jed Schaefer, David Schaefer's son. I also had the privilege of getting to work with him on some of the WayMax project as a videographer for it. My dad believed first and foremost about accessibility for all and just making the world a more accessible place. By adding more diversity and accessibility, you get better ideas and better minds for the benefit of every single person. You guys probably know him well. He was a very humble person. He didn't like to talk about his accolades or awards, which is how some of us didn't even know about his prior experience as well. But this award would have meant a great deal to him. He really prided himself on his accessibility accomplishments and his time with Metro. even specifically looked forward to these meetings every time and would happily talk to me about them every time. But thank you all for those kind words. They really do mean a lot and are very touching. And we all hope that we can continue his legacy in trying to make the world as safe as possible to all. Thank you. I'm going to pass the microphone to my sister, Brynn.
I wrote a quick little blurb on my phone to write. My dad was great at public speaking, and I'm not so much. But I'm Brynn. I'm David Schaefer's daughter. Thank you for your kind words and speaking about him in such a high regard. It means so much to us to hear that about my father. As my brother said, my father didn't share. He wasn't a man of many words. So it's really nice to hear from you guys, you know, what you got to experience in the day-to-day life with him at work. So I am so proud of my dad for his valuable work. As most of you know, our dad was incredibly passionate about fighting to make our world safer and more accessible to individuals with disabilities. As someone that became blind later in life, he was able to empathize with the struggles and inequality that people with disabilities faced every day. He was able to transform his disability into a superpower and make impactful changes for those like himself, particularly transforming public transportation to be more accessible so people with disabilities could be empowered to navigate cities independently. He took great pride in his work here at Metro and his achievements for accessibility. He really was key in transforming the Metro system. Let my father's work inspire you and let his memory live on through advocating for anyone that requires assistance, is less privileged, or has differences in how they navigate our world. As for myself, I'm an emergency room nurse in California, and I will make sure in my practice to advocate for those that need accommodations and ensure I provide individuals with disabilities equitable and quality care. Let's continue to empower those with disabilities and make our transportation more accessible and inclusive. Although my father's tragic passing this year deeply ached, his life and legacy lives bright in the impacts of accessibility and through the lives he changed through his work in civil law. He really dedicated his life to this. So cheers to my dad, David.
Hi, I'm Joyce Winston. I was David's partner, and I'm going to not need to say a lot of the things about David because things have already been said here by everyone in this room. I really appreciate how everyone appreciated him. If he were here, he would be very, very proud of this award, albeit quite humbled, because that's who David was. But I'm just going to say, David was brilliant and fought his entire life for justice and equality and access for everyone. And I was just sitting here thinking, it's sad the day that David lost his vision. However, it may have been the best thing that ever happened to the disabled community in this country, and certainly for access for everyone, and for the disabled and blind especially. So here's to David.
This in-person stuff is different. I'm speaking into my headset. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good for you. Okay. I know, how are we doing on time?
We are doing pretty well. It's
behind again, I suppose.
Just by a few minutes, which is time so well spent.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to just say thank you to the family for attending and Joyce for attending this award ceremony. what they said has meant a lot, and I think it sets a standard for the rest of the committee moving forward. So thank you very much for the words, kind words for David, and for coming to accept this award. That's wonderful. Anil, and I guess in moving forward, we can call the meeting, the AAC meeting to order now, and run through our agenda.
Sure.
If that works.
Absolutely. And if we want to just take a quick moment, again, thank you everyone for joining the Richard W. Hettinger Award.
Anil, I can't hear you that all that long.
Okay, is this better?
A little bit better.
Okay, thank
Good.
You.
Good, that's great, okay.
Okay, so we will follow our agenda for the rest of the evening, and we will go through the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, if you will confirm your presence, that would be great. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Donnie Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coates. Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Bolstein. Thank you. Steve Kennedy.
Present.
Thank you. Swatananda Kumar. Philippa Mazel, Sandy Newsell, thank you. Phil Posner, Sarah Roth, thank you. Doris Ray, Denise Rush,
present.
Thank you. Paul Summerford,
present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan,
here.
Thank you. Philip Weintraub,
here.
Thank you. Chair Sheehan, you have the forum. You have the forum, and that concludes the roster.
Okay, so let's first take a look at the agenda. Thank you, Anil. Do I have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
This is Paul Summerford. I move that we move the agenda as is.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Oh, lots of seconds. Okay. Do I have any objections to the agenda as submitted? Hearing none, we will consider the agenda approved. Thank you. Let me go on to the minutes then next. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes as submitted? Very good. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All kinds of seconds. Thank you. Are there any objections to approving the minutes as submitted? Hearing none, the minutes will be approved. We will now go on to the board report. Any additions or corrections to the board report?
Hearing none, this we move the board report as it is. Will be friendly amendment, whatever comes out tonight, that it will be amended accordingly.
Thank you, Paul. I was hoping you'd put that in. Very good. Any objections to the acceptance of the board report as possibly amended? Hearing none, the board report is accepted. Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Butler, you are up next with system-wide accessibility update for us. And thank you so much for the reception upstairs and in the kind words.
Very welcome. Thank you, everyone. So I'm Dr. Maggie Butler, VP of System-Wide Accessibility, African-American woman with shoulder-length hair, wearing a black blazer and brown top. I want to begin with an update on our bathroom accessibility assessment. We have completed the full assessment across all stations. And right now, teams across Metro are reviewing and analyzing the results, and we will have an update, comprehensive update for you all in January. The second update is about our engagement approach moving forward. So beginning in March, we will transition to quarterly hybrid meetings for the AAC. These will be structured as in-person meetings with a virtual option to ensure accessibility and broad participation. We will be sharing meeting logistics, dates, accessibility features, and opportunities for to submit public comments and questions. Our goal is to establish a predictable hybrid rhythm that promotes transparency, collaboration, and continuous improvement. And the final update is regarding the Accessibility Advisory Committee vacancies for Virginia and DC. We have applications submitted for both seats, and we are preparing to begin a structured review process with anticipation of selecting the new members by January 2026. Any questions for me?
Farmer?
Yes, Mr. Farmer.
In regards to the vacancies, the design, thank you. The design that's going to be set up for interviewing, will that be the traditional, I guess you'd call it a panel style? Will you need people from the board, or will it be strictly an internal review?
No, we will have you all's engagement. We'll follow the traditional process for the selection that does incorporate the AAC's review of the materials and the individuals selected.
Thank you.
Well.
Any other questions from?
Yes. This is Sandy. I have a question. The format of the accessible bathrooms, will that be hopefully in a list form as well as perhaps a map form so that it'd be easy to figure out which stations have accessible restrooms?
Yes, ma'am. We are looking at both options to ensure that we have the list for those who may not be able to navigate the map. So we're looking at both formats to present that information.
Thank you.
Very welcome. I believe Mrs. Coles has a question.
Yes, I just thought, was there a time for submission for the candidates for the vacancies?
Yes, ma'am, that was November 28th.
So you're not taking any of that?
They can definitely submit. If we need to reopen the application process, we can. But we encourage individuals to submit. They can submit after the deadline. We'll keep that information.
All right.
Then Mr. Winthrop has a question.
Go ahead. As far as the bathroom, for the stations that are where the bathroom is accessible, will those bathrooms be redone to maybe made accessible?
So we're looking at the reports now to identify what work needs to be done. So we'll be able to have a complete report of what's accessible, what might need some additional remediation.
Thank you.
Good. Anything else? Any other questions? Very good. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate that. Appreciate those updates. A very short DMV Moves final update. The COG, WCOG board, and the WMATA board met on the 17th of November and passed the resolutions that had been presented the previous month regarding the recommendations for DMV Moves. I've talked about some of them in the past, one being finances with an appropriate amount of money, $460 million per year given by the three jurisdictions, the priorities of bus prioritization, track signaling, and of course, ensuring that the financial cliff, which will be upcoming, I think it's FY28, are all being addressed. There was a lot of discussion, but rather than go through a lot of it here, you can listen to the replay of that meeting on the dmbmoose.org website, and that, you know, they really do a great job going forward explaining the pros and cons of all those different areas. One of the things that I think, I've talked to leadership a little bit about this, and we're looking at implementing something like this, I think, is having a strategic planning part of our meetings, maybe on a quarterly basis, to go over things and have the experts brief this committee on issues that are coming up with inside WMATA, whether it's at a or local level or perhaps regional level or enterprise level, like we're trying to build with food DMP moves. Much better to have the experts come before this committee and explain the complexities of the financial systems or the signaling systems or the bus prioritization systems, everything that goes into all of that in a briefing. It isn't exactly specifically accessibility, but it is the larger component of what we're going to be living with in the system over the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years. So I think it's important for us to be able to understand the larger context of what's going on with respect to the region and how COG and WMATA and you know, even with respect to VR&E and MARC railways and the work that's being done at Union Station to upgrade that facility, a little bit of Amtrak, even though it's not part of the system, how that all interplays in the region. So those are the things that we'll learn over time, and hopefully we can have the subject matter experts in here to answer your questions. I think that would be something good. But I would encourage you to go through maybe the November 17th meeting on the DMV Move site. It'll answer some of your questions, and you'll also be able to hear some of the opposition to some of the points that were raised and why they were raised. You know, you'll hear some of these things in the news going forward, but it did pass, and the resolution is moving forward. We'll see what goes on next week.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. Denise Rush has raised her hand. Watch her.
Okay. Go ahead, Denise. You may have to help me with that because I couldn't quite hear her before.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Denise Rush. I would like to know, how are we going to tell handicapped people about the restrooms? I know that you said you're going to have an update, but along with telling them about the restrooms, you got to tell them about each person, man, woman, or it doesn't matter, that they got to be prepared. They need to know about what restrooms are available. Even though they're available, the attendant has helped them if their hand has been operated on. You got to tell them the facts. The facts are there's nobody there to help you. You have to be prepared for each situation. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah, she has an opinion.
Hello?
Ms. Rush?
Yes.
Dr. Butler is going to respond.
What did she say? Hello?
Mrs. Rush, can you hear me?
No, I didn't.
Wanted to let you know we are going to have a communications plan.
You're going to have a communications plan?
Yes, ma'am, that alerts the public of what's available, what role we play, what role they may have to play as it pertains to planning to utilize the accessible restrooms across the stations. So that will be a part of that update.
I understand it, restrooms, but the public needs to know, like if the hand operator or whatever, they need to be prepared, not you, but they need to be
correct. So we're going to have a communications plan that incorporates engagement with the public.
All right. They need to know that they need to be prepared, not Butler.
Noted. We will make sure we address that.
Now, are we going to talk about the say the openings that they have, like people are going to be falling off of the system, like Paul and myself and whomever, but they need to, what is the succession? Like Paul, like needs to, he's going to have openings, but he needed to tell or discuss the passion of the people, you know, like I'm vice chair, so he needs to talk to me and tell me he's going to have other people openings, and they need to go in succession and or discuss with the next person or who is in line, not just say, well, I'm going to have openings and I've discussed with Mr. Farmer that he will alternate and nobody discussed it with whoever's in succession. Anu? Hello? Okay. I don't hear anything from Ms. Butler or anybody.
Denise?
Yes?
This is Pat. I'm trying to answer your question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So according to the bylaws that we passed this year in July, We need to hold the subcommittee chair vote, which is next on the agenda. And then the subcommittee chairs pick their vice chairs. So we're not at the point yet where the subcommittee chairs would pick their vice chairs because we haven't elected the subcommittee chairs. That's next on the agenda. Now, I would assume that once the subcommittee chairs are in place, that the chairs of the subcommittees would then pick their vice chairs after consulting with people who are interested in serving in those capacities. But that is under the authority of the subcommittee chairs.
Thank you.
According to the bylaws. And they went into effect in July of this year. So I would say probably let's go to the next agenda item, see who has submitted names for the subcommittee chair positions, hold those elections, and then take the next step going forward.
Thank you.
All right, so hearing nothing else, nobody else has raised hands, I know?
Not at this time, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, so let me go to the next agenda item if I can, which I just alluded to. We asked, according to the bylaws that I reread today, that the AAC as a whole will vote on the nominations for the Metro Access and the Bus Rail subcommittees. We asked that names were submitted to move forward in that process, submitted to you anew through the regular process as we did with the officers. Can you give me the slate of officers for the bus, rail, and metro access committees? And I'll conduct that election.
Sure. So going for the bus and rail subcommittee chair, Tino Calabria nominated himself. For the metro access subcommittee, Paul Sanford nominated himself for the chair.
Okay. So we have two positions and two nominees, right?
That is correct.
One for each position. I love it. I love it when things are easy. So I'm going to make an executive decision. I'm sure it will be wrong. But I would ask that the slate be accepted by acclamation for Tino as bus rail. I almost made Tino Metro Access. I would have messed everybody up. Tino for bus rail. And also for Paul as Metro Access sub-chair. Do I have, since there are only, I would ask that nominations be closed and that they be voted in my acclamation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That it makes any difference. Okay, so Tino, you have done an excellent job over the last, seems like a million years, but you've got a lot on your plate, and you're doing some great work, particularly in your work on signage, your work on Georges County that I want to jump into a little bit more, and just bus prioritization and everything else going forward. So you've got a lot of work, and you've got a great committee underneath you and a lot of good people. And Paul, what can we say? You've just done an outstanding job. And I think it's interesting. They judged the work plan of the AAC chair based on what gets done by the subcommittees. So helping you guys be successful is all a part of making this whole committee successful. And but I think we give a good work product going forward. And thanks to you that a lot of this work gets done. So thank you both. Either one of you want to say anything?
This is Paul Sunfoy. It is with great pleasure to serve for this committee. It is, is this working? Oh, okay. I thank each and every AAC member for their mentorship, especially for the subcommittee level, Ms. Rush, who's been my greatest mentor over the years and has made sure I steer and keep my eyes on the prize, which is for all customers in terms of advocacy, strong advocacy from many years from day one. And that is where I hope to keep that head straight under, hopefully continue assistance and guidance amongst other committee members.
Tino?
Yes. Of all the leadership officers of both the AAC, the BRS, and the Metro Access, I'm second youngest in terms of membership. Even Steve, who has served as a one of the vice chairs of my committee, preceded me on the AAC. And I've been happy to serve, to have his assistance, and certainly of the assistance of our other vice chair. I hope that they'll continue to serve in those positions with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tino. Certainly the work that both of you have done and the whole committee who works on each of those subcommittees, the task force, working groups and all. We do a good product. We do a good job. Thanks to you guys. And go before the board with a good product and good reputation. So a lot of that's to you guys. So my only next charge to both of you is based on the individuals who have served on your committees in the past, you will pick your vice chairs, and I will be looking forward to my 4 to 6 meetings, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock meetings on my second and third Monday afternoons. Very good. And now we're at public comment period.
Pat, when do we meet to let you know? Or I thought this was done at the AAC level.
The vice chairs? No, the vice chairs are, Paul, I didn't go back over the how it was set up 5 years ago. So I think that pointing the chairs, the vice chairs to the committees might be something new. I'd have to go back to I think it was 2018 or something like that to look. I would say certainly, I think maybe we could have them, you could have them in place by January 1st. I think that's fair. Does that work for you?
I want to do this appropriately with care.
Right. And I get part of what we're trying to work towards, and I think we all know this, is succession planning, because we've got you've got me and Denise and others that are going to be terming out, and the more important thing is that we get people in these positions when we leave that will be comfortable moving the committee forward, because it's beneficial to a lot of people, and they depend on us, particularly in the areas of the bus rail and paratransit systems. So you're right. There's a lot of thought, a lot of discussion, a lot of balancing needs to be done. But we certainly can do a good job with it. Tina, questions from you and Paul or anybody else? Anu, am I ahead of schedule?
Pretty well. It's 6:40, and we heard the agenda was go to the comment section at 6:45.
Oh, well. I was a little better than that. Anyway, are there any other questions? No. Okay, we'll move forward then. Public comment period. I know. I'm not sure how we do this. We're used to doing it in Zoom.
Okay.
And between hands and Zoom, maybe you can let us know who has raised their hands or anyone in the room.
Sure, will do. And just as a reminder, I would like to remind any members of the public, if you would like to make comments, as a general practice, we do have 2 minutes per speaker. We practice this to ensure that if we have multiple speakers, everyone gets an opportunity to make their comments. We will take hands if you go to seat. If we have any members of the public present in the room who would like to make comments, we will go with them first. Afterwards, we can take any members of the public connected virtually. Virtually, if you are on phone, you can press star 9 to mute or unmute. Press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself, and to virtually raise or lower your hands, it's star 9. If you are on the video conference, you can click on the mutes button that will mute or unmute yourself. And if you go to hand raise icon, and for some it might be under reactions, you can raise or virtually lower your hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we will know that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. We do request that people, if you're not making comments virtually, please stay on mute because it helps us eliminate external noise. So I will turn on the timer for 2 minutes on Zoom. If any members of the public have comments, please let us know now. I'm not seeing any hands up.
Okay.
I do have my hand raised.
Oh, okay. I apologize. We do have one member of the public present in the room.
How you doing?
And her name is Janice Samuels. Janice, please go ahead.
Thank you. I think we've discussed this before. It's the New Carrollton Metro. It's very confusing for rideshare drivers where to drop them off and where passengers should pick up their rideshare drivers. I know we've discussed that there's a garage that is where the drop-off should be, but then if you're waiting there, a rideshare doesn't know to come in and the signage is poor, and then there's a temporary fence that's blocking off where the Kiss and Ride used to be. Is that permanent, or is there some structure that's going up there? It's just a hot mess. So
I like the technical description. We all understand hot mess. This is you're saying paratransit or Ability Ride, which
Ability Ride. Yeah. So if you're in a ride share from Ability Ride, they would.
Right, hot mess.
Yeah.
So I'll ask if it's possible, Janice, just because I'm getting kind of good at this. I've got right now 4 or 5 problems into Kevin Hackshaw, via Chris Blake, and they owe me explanation as to how they are going to fix those issues.
Okay.
What I'm under, so if you could send something to either MetroAct chair, I know that could be sent to me, and I will be happy to forward it over to Kevin and to Mr. Blake. But we're finding issues that need to be, I think, hard-coded into the system so that they don't keep making these mistakes.
Yes.
The system does. And unless we get specifics, and I did not get a chance last meeting because the Metro Access meeting was it was really packed. And so, I do want to follow up with Mr. Blake and Kevin. And certainly, if I get that, I'll add that to my list and I'll be number 5.
Thank you. Will do.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. I want to add that in the Carrollton, as you know, there's 2 sides to that station. for drop off. I know there is a metro designated metro access pickup area, if that might help in the mix of things, and maybe using that as an identifier for pickup and drop off for abilities ride. I just throw that into this whole mix.
That might.
So can I might add something? I heard my name.
What?
Christian Blake.
Mr. Blake.
Yeah.
You've been quiet all day.
I know. I'm sorry. But yes, to your point, there is a construction project at New Carrollton for Metro Access customers. There is the Kiss and Ride on the lower level. We haven't had too much demand for the upper level, but there is a Metro Access stop up there as well. Now, the Kiss and Ride, as you can imagine, as you're turning off of Garden City Parkway, depending on where you're going and where you ask the Uber driver, a taxi, or even a Metro Access vehicle to stop, you may end up causing traffic because a lot of people don't want to go in the garage. So we're working on that part of this. There is also, you're familiar with Falcon. We've been dealing with Falcon for many years now as the shuttle service. They're going to be, we're working with system-wide accessibility to get them a spot in the bus loop, because right now their wheelchair accessible vehicle, which is the shuttle between the lower level and the upper level for customers in general who need the access, their wheelchair accessible vehicles are too tall to enter the garage on the Kiss and Ride side, and that's causing some of the traffic issues and confusion. So our next step now is to move them into the official bus loop, because their vehicles do have a small Metro flag on them. And so system-wide accessibility and myself, we're working on that to resolve that part of the problem. But yes, on the Uber and the taxis, they're supposed to either go into the Kiss and Ride lot if you're going to use Metro, or if you're going into the Metro facility, Metro building, the New Carrollton Metro office, there is a curb, a side curb where you can be picked up or dropped off. And so we're encouraging everybody to use that location as well.
Okay, so it sounds like we've got some checking and communicating to do so people know where to go to do what.
Yes, sir. Okay. And I think we can do a better job at informing customers once that address pops up. Maybe have the reservationist help them understand or get an understanding of where the customer is actually going, to then inform the customer better as to where they will either be picked up or dropped off.
Okay. And yeah, and so that's sort of on the list of the three or four others that I have in front of you and Kevin. And I know you're working them, and you'll let us know when we get good results.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thanks. It's always nice to put you on the spot, sir, even though it's not Paul's meeting. You know? But I do appreciate you speaking up, because I had no idea you were in the room. There you go.
Chair Shia.
Yes.
We have a person on Zoom.
Okay.
Malik Jordan, if you would.
Certainly.
Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Can you start speaking? The timer will begin. Go ahead, please.
Yes, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm a developer and currently developing a project close to Naga Metro Station. And one of the things I wanted to explore is just the subject you guys was talking about, is creating a space for seniors and mobility bus to be picked up on the development site. So I would just love the opportunity to discuss the development with you further and see how we can partner together, because it's a half a mile really across the street from Naga Metro Station. And I'm planning to develop, you know, Lord willing, 150 units of attainable housing in Prince George's County. So just wanted to say hello and try to research about how to collaborate with WMATA on the development project.
So I knew this looks like something we want to take a look at, probably. And we get another chance to fill up Tino's schedule with either bus stops or accessible routes or whatever. I guess the proper way would be for them to present something through Maggie and Anu and down to us.
Yes, Chair Sheehan. So we will provide an email address to Mr. Jordan, and he can we can correspond and follow up.
Good. Figure out what the right subcommittee might be to present the plan. Okay. Good. And whether it's metro access or bus rail, or maybe both. We'll see. Okay. Great. Thank you, sir. Perfect.
Thank you.
Anything else, Anu?
So, Chair Sheehan, at this point, I'm not seeing any hands up in the room or virtually.
Okay. So, I think we are up to Tino, Bus and Rail Subcommittee Report.
Yes, you've all received a draft of the Subcommittee Report. Please review it, and we have to decide on adopting it at the next meeting. That is the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting. Thank you.
Questions for Tino? All right, thank you, Tino. Paul, you're up next.
Wow, this is quick. Okay. Paul Simmelfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. We had a very, very lengthy discussion last month about the Metro Access eligibility process. Sarah presented a proposal an advocacy in terms of you know, what we should look at next with the eligibility process for those going through it with permanent disabilities. I know Metro Access Eligibility's director, who's here tonight, presented his point of view, what the agency's policy is and the things that they are doing in terms of recertification. So now what we're looking to do is, I guess, it's on my agenda for this month because I wanted to make sure Sarah is given the time that is needed to fully vet and explain her advocacy piece on that. So we're going to continue that and bring that forward to hopefully the AAC with some kind of recommendation and see how that goes from there in January. That was the major piece.
Okay. Other questions for Paul?
Also on the agenda for next month is all those. See, Mr. Blake always disappears out of here. I see Mr. Hackshaw is on the plate to talk about things Uber. Mr. Blake did talk about, and, you know, customers did express concerns about, like, customers like myself and everyone else who have trips that are selected for Uber, you know, you get Uber links the night before. You sometimes get the links, sometimes don't get the links. Of course, that's caused a lot of, you know, calls into the staff, which is the bulk of the calls that they're getting. So Mr. Blake has announced that another way, which if customers are able to download the Uber app, they should be able to, they're going to integrate this and this into, for those who are able to access it through the Uber app, where they can see all their trips and hopefully all the links in one set place is what he proposed. I'm looking for him to confirm that, but I believe that's what he said. So that is coming with, I see Mr. Hackshaw on the list next month. We also discussed, Mr. Blake announced that Lyft is finally coming aboard, because I remember at one time they were given an offer to WMATA and they, I believe, turned it down. And now it looks like they are going to very soon sign on with WMATA as an abilities right partner. And once that happens, they will be figuring out how to use them as part of the abilities right portfolio in terms of the service area, the Metro Access service area that they're willing to serve. Of course, we look forward to this because this adds, you know, another layer of options for customers who are able to use, have some level of independence and use abilities rides, especially for, you know, trips during rush hour and late night, to help augment and the service and make sure people are picked up in a timely manner.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
Did I miss anything?
No, I guess the only thing that we need to make sure is we have Sarah on the agenda first thing, right?
Oh, yeah, she's on the agenda because I have a copy of the agenda.
Good. See that. Okay. Yeah, you had a Rock'em's Cock'em meeting last month, fully packed.
Also, we also going to have on the meeting to talk about the Metroxas inclement weather policy, because as you know, that needs to be stated every year as we get into those very cold months and we will hit snow. And what are the expectations? And Ms. Anderson will be presenting that, as she infamously does every year, as to what Metroxas, along with Mr. Blake, what Metroxas will and will be able to do for customers during the inclement weather. Mm-hmm. So do not miss that discussion.
Right. Well, yeah, we always have a couple of things like that that are specifically Metroxas. The other one being any possible shutdown of certain lines that we've had over the last couple of years. We'll see how that goes forward. All right, any other questions for Paul?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Another thing is about the like when rides get over to be kicked over to Uber, because there's, I had a friend who had a, just a friend of mine that who had a Metroxas taking him to an appointment somewhere, and it got selected to the Uber, and he hit the Uber link to get the ride. It didn't tell him, like, it said the car was coming, the Uber was coming, but didn't say, tell him what kind of car or who or the license plates. It just said it's coming, that there's a ride coming. And so how are we going to be able to fix that? They know what kind of vehicle exactly coming.
Now, generally, when you click on the link and start the trip, you should be able to see that. But hopefully with this option of seeing everything, if you are able to download the app, that should hopefully fix that issue, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So where everything is in one place, instead of going through text to text to text to try to find a link, see what the status is, and that type of thing. That is what the hope is. And Mr. Hackshaw will talk about that next month. Anyone else with questions?
Right. Simplifying that interface, Paul, so that you're going directly into what is kind of the Uber app with your destination and your car description and all that kind of stuff. Right. Okay.
Can I ask a quick clarifying question on that?
Sure, go ahead.
Is there a chance that he could do a demo of what it would look like? Because I'm trying to figure out, I think I could use some help just sort of visualizing where I would look for that sort of thing, maybe. I don't know.
A demo of the app?
Yeah, once he demos it, and then I probably, because I'm one who heavily uses it, I could, you know, yeah, we could ask him that, and maybe I can talk to you on the side. Okay. Because I use the app. Well, what happens is, my trips go to my Uber app actively, and I'm able to see things happen step by step. So maybe I could probably talk to you on the side how that might visually look for a particular trip.
So
that makes sense.
In demoing it,
not
Paul.
The only one that would be interested.
Yeah, I think in demoing it, Paul, walking us through it so that we could and visually telling us what's happening, you know, when we select this or select that. How we select it is different compared on to what iPhone you might be using or whatever.
But, Mr. Samford?
Yes.
Mr. Calabria has a question.
Go ahead, Tino.
Yes, thank you. Mentioning that Sarah is going to deal with the recertification application in one of your next meetings, right?
Yeah, the next meeting, she's on the agenda first.
Sarah also brought to her attention a couple of meetings ago about emergencies in the station, emergencies related to doors that are only partly open or partly closed, and people trying to squeeze out of these partly open, partly closed doors. especially folks who may rely on wheelchairs to get out. We brought that up a couple times, and I'm wondering if at the next meeting we can have some representatives of the staffs involved in opening and closing doors with us and those kind of emergencies on platforms.
So you're talking about that?
I knew.
Chair Sheehan, this is Maggie Butler. So we do have that topic on schedule. It's on schedule for February due to the availability of the staff, if that's okay with you all.
Well, thank you, Maggie. I'm anxious about that because the Hitachi folks and staff that are working with them, they're hopefully able to shoehorn these things into the new transits that they're being built rather than to retrofit them later on. Correct. So the earlier that we have these folks to discuss with us, that would be much appreciated. The second thing related to just the technical questions of if we are to meet here once a month, how, for example, do you signal that it, with Zoom, it was easy. You had a up hand or down hand or up hand is for to, but how do we do it when we're here?
So we're definitely, this is Maggie again. We are definitely taking notes on how we can add additional aids so that individuals can be recognized. We're spotting right now, but we're looking to see if we can find a more independent process for you all to engage in person. And I just wanted to confirm that we will re-engage our internal stakeholders from the emergency management department to see if they can come a little earlier than February.
And also, Dr. Butler, we're meeting in person on a quarterly basis, not monthly basis.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh, God, I forgot. Just one more point I wanted to bring up from the last meeting. We did have a presentation from a vendor that did kind of a metro access study, particularly for the state of Maryland. I forgot to bring that up. And they did kind of an analysis with, because the state of Maryland is giving X amount of money towards transit, towards paratransit, the big picture. And they were making some suggestions of just, I guess, some independent type of options about abilities ride. There should be a charge. And right now, of course, we're all very happy that, you know, the way things are, even though Mr. Blake has said at some point there will be a charge for abilities ride. We just kind of let things be. Any other comments beyond that as it relates to metro access?
Any other comments for Paul?
So Mr. Calabia raised his hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. With respect to the quarterly meetings that Patrick just mentioned, does that mean that there will be one meeting every 3 months here in this building, in this space?
Correct.
One meeting every 3 months?
But it's AAC, one meeting for the AAC, one meeting for the bus and rail, and one meeting for Metro Access in person.
Oh, so there'll be three meetings within the quarter?
Yes, sir.
And they will take place here in this space?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Will it all be in the same month y'all looking at?
Yes, sir. March is the next meeting.
March will be the next set of meetings?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And we will send you our calendar.
I appreciate that. That's not how I had understood it, so I appreciate the clarification. That's good. Thank you.
So are the bus and rail and metro access meetings for December here?
No, this
just this one.
This one. This is our not test, but we wanted to see how it goes so we can improve it for the March meetings.
Okay, good. Any other questions for Paul?
Chair Sheehan, I do not see any hands up in the room, nor virtually.
And let's see, we're at, I'm missing the time right now. How are we on time, Manu? I know we're...
We are doing extremely well. It's only 5 after 7.
After 7. See, that's why we need to have more meetings in person. I run out of topics. So we can go one of two ways. We can see if there's anything else AEC-wise that the committee would like to discuss, or we can
do a Christmas adjournment.
Ask for, we could ask for an early AAC adjournment of this meeting. Give you guys back 25 minutes. Do I have a preference from anybody?
Move that we adjourn.
No, oh, there you go. Well, there you go. Did I have anyone else that wanted to speak, though? I didn't know if we caught anybody off. Marcy, I didn't know if you...
No.
Maybe she was calling for... Okay.
The silence, Pat.
All right, the silence, Paul. Yeah, I guess I should call it, right? All right. If there's no negative votes, we will adjourn this meeting. And thanks, everybody. Very nice meeting. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy holidays. And yes, report to New Year.
Good night.
Yes.